we can come and hear from you, Father, and that there be something, that it just be minor adjustments that we'll make from hearing your word and your will and your ways on how we're to accomplish the things in this life for your glory. We're going to be quick to hear. We're going to hear with a transformational ear. We're going to hear. We're going to be a divine listener, because it's the Holy Spirit that enables us to hear what the word would tell us. We're going to thank you for the experience and the results, that the things the world witnesses in our lives, it'll draw them unto a place that they question and ask, hey, tell me about your experience in this life with this God that you trust and love. What a great opportunity. And we'll hear something tonight, without a doubt, that we can use instantly. And then all the days of our life, we thank you for it in Jesus' name. Amen. Man, I always am thankful for any chance I get to share some of the things that God's given me over a period of time. Hey, I believe without a doubt he's done an effective work in me, because I'm here after 21 and a half years. You know, the proof's in a man or a woman standing and walking and running in the middle of this world, that you got something working in you that the world ain't been able to conquer. And that's the Lord my God. From the 8:45 on a Sunday night, July 4th, 2004, homeless and sleeping in a tent. Praise God, I got born again. And I ain't been the same since. And hadn't got over it yet. And so, you know, the world's forevermore changing. Now, some of the things have remained the same, but it's a changing world. But hey, the Word of God is designed to help change you to adapt and overcome the things that you experience in this life. You may experience something 10 years from now that you hadn't experienced today, but God readies you for that. He's got an ability beyond just what, you know, we can think about or see. And so I want to share tonight. Now, one thing is, when you hear the subject of this is have faith in God. And one of the most dangerous things we can do is say, well, I know about faith, and don't think there's anything else we can learn. Paul told in one of his letters, he told the church, he said, I'm telling you these things not because you don't know, but because you do know. I want to remind you of these things. And so some of the stuff that I share with you, you may already know, but something to be added to you tonight, as we go through these different things that I've got here prepared for you, that is going to build you up and strengthen you for the immediate future and for the days ahead down the road. So Mark 11, starting at verse 22, this is Jesus. This is after he had done withered the fig tree, and the disciples, they marveled at what had happened, and they were reminding him about, Master, this fig tree that you withered has died, and he it withered from the roots up. And Jesus said in verse 22, he said, have faith in God. For truly I say to you, whoever says to this mountain, be removed, be thrown into the sea, and does not doubt in his heart, but believes that what he says will come to pass, he will have whatever he says. Verse 24, he says, therefore I say to you, whatever things you ask for when you pray, believe that you will receive them and you'll have them. And then I'm going to add this verse 25 because it is important. It said, when you stand praying, forgive. So see, you got to purge your heart. So you have two, you have several things going on right here, but notice there's saying and praying. So a lot of times us as believers, we'll be praying when we're supposed to be saying. And then we'll be saying when we're supposed to be praying, and both of those can be out of order. And then you go in, wind up not getting the results that you think you should be having from having the faith in God. Y'all see that, the difference? He's saying here, there's saying and praying mentioned in these verses. And so this is the simple way God showed me this. When you pray, you're looking for answers. But when you're called to say something, you already have the answer. So if you already have an answer that God's revealed to you by revelation on how to handle certain situations, and you're praying, well, you're in a way out of order. You have the answer. So you ought to be saying instead of praying. All right, so, and then Romans chapter 12, verse 3 talks about he's given unto every man the measure of faith. Some of these may be common scriptures that we know, given unto every man a measure of faith. And then 2 Corinthians 5, 7 says that we don't walk by sight, we walk by faith. That word walk is mean how you live. We don't live by sight, we live by faith. And faith in the Son of God. So then 2 Corinthians 4:13 says, adds a little something to it right here. He's quoting the psalmist, we believe, therefore we speak. And then Hebrews 11, verse 1, all these are just leading into what I'm saying about have faith in God. You know the reason Jesus could say to you, have faith in God, because it's been given to you. It's in there. Faith is what God give us, put on the inside of us, so that when we hear or see something from Him, we can come into agreement with it. It's one of the supernatural processes that takes place, that the faith that He give you, and I'm going to touch on it here in these steps that we're going to be looking for things in and on our path of life that reveal the faith of God working in us and for us. And so when we examine these things, you got to be able to look at your own life and say, okay, is this happening in me? Because we're going to be reading from Scripture. We want to be able to determine why we don't get answers when we need them in a timely manner, and how they come, what part we play in it. I just don't know that there's a human being that's here or listening online that's been born again that say everything they believe God for they're experiencing. There's still something on the table where you say there's something missing. Is this all there is to it? Why don't I have my answers that I've been praying and believing for, been standing for, know it's in the Word? How come it hadn't come to pass? Surely there's a hunger in every. It is with me. And I've been fortunate in these 21 and a half years. And I've had a lot of things happen for me, but there's still just a few things that hadn't happened for me the way I want them and the way I desire them. And I know they're part of God's will. So we're going to look for things that are in or on our path of life that reveal the faith of God working in us and for us. So Hebrews 11, we know that faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. And then, still talking about faith in verse 6, without faith, it's impossible to please God. So God doesn't want to make it an impossibility to please him. That's why he gave unto every man the measure of faith. He removed the impossibility of it. And so without faith, it's impossible to please God. And for he who comes to God must believe that he exists and that he is a rewarder of those who diligently seek him. And so I want to add this thought to that Hebrews 11. So since faith come from God, he gave it to you, it's a divine ability. It is a heavenly ability, a divine ability to agree with God. Every man, woman was born from their mama's womb with the divine ability to believe God. And so I'm going to share four things with you. And how about this here? Here's another thought. Agreement with God is the highest level of spiritual maturity for the born-again man or woman in this life. There's not another level of spiritual maturity you'll reach higher than you agreeing with the living God. Agreement with God. It's the highest level of spiritual maturity for the born-again man or woman. And so one of the first stages of having faith in God, it's just not automatic. We got to look at these things in our life to see if they're actually functioning and working in us so that we can raise our level of expectation that we're going to have what we've believed for. The first one is an open heart. Pastor been referring to it as a willing heart, a ready heart. But an open heart. Isaiah chapter 1. I'm going to start at 17. Isaiah chapter 1 is 17 through 20. Learn to do good, seek justice, relieve the oppressed, judge the fatherless. That means defend the rights of the fatherless. And plead for the widow. Verse 18, come now and let us reason together, says the Lord. Now, it's a beautiful thing when the creator of the universe will ask you to come and let's reason together. Now, so here's the thing about that is when you sit down to reason with somebody, it's not a one-way conversation. God ain't just wanting to pour all he's got to know and all he knows into you. He's wanting to know what you think about a situation too. Let's reason together. And he said, though your sins be as scarlet, they shall be white as snow. Though they be red like crimson, they shall be as wool. In verse 19, if you are willing and obedient, you shall eat the good of the land. But if you refuse and rebel, you shall be devoured by the sword, for the mouth of the Lord has spoken. So this willing heart, if you're willing and obedient, you shall eat the good of the land. And so, you know, with God showing up in our lives with the humility where he'll actually invite us to come and reason together with him. And for us to get into agreement with his reasoning, that's the most practical thing that you can participate in. It doesn't get any simpler than that. But do you have a willing heart, an open heart to come and do that? And why that's so important to have an open heart, because from the heart flows the issues of life. And then we know that it is an issue because all the way over in, we read this here in Isaiah, but you get over into Revelation, and Jesus said, behold, I stand at the door and knock. And the one that will open the door, that reveals willingness. I'll come in and sup with him. So an open heart. What about an open mind? So what we're going to be going through tonight is whether we open or not. Y'all say with me, I'm open. So an open mind, and otherwise known as a place where divine knowledge flows. So you had an open heart, you got an open mind. And so in John 1, verse 1, it says, "In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. And he was in the beginning with God." So this the Word, meaning the Logos, means he was the great revealer and communicator of divine intelligence. That's what his name, the Word, the literal definition of that. He is the great revealer and communicator of divine information. In other words, even from the beginning, he took what Father God knew and had and brought it and communicated it to the sons of men. Divine intelligence. And so, here's some other verses. You know, and one thing that I've been reminded of, just that goes back and touches a little bit on the open heart. You know, there's a religious group of people in this world, they don't want to know what God knows. You look at the time where Jesus came and visited here in his earthly ministry and come as a man. Man, those religious people didn't want to know what he knew. That's not an open heart. I want to know what God knows. Man, he's smarter than I am. I'm just telling you. And I've seen some stuff when I had just a small impartation of his knowledge, it made me look good. You know, Matt talked about him finding a tooth one time at work. And me, I had, you know, I was working at City Auto Sales over here when I got first started in the car business, and we had some keys come up missing. Now, this is just one example because we ain't got but so long, but I got many more examples like this. And we had some keys come up missing. And these guys knew how I lived. I'd been there 6 or 8 months. Sales manager and all of them, they'd been looking for these keys for 2 days. Customer was supposed to drop them off in the drop box, and they wasn't nowhere to be found. And they started mocking me. "Don, you know, God knows everything. Get him to tell you where them keys are. Get him to tell you where them keys are. You always tell you, the Lord said, you're always saying that. Get him to tell you where them keys are." Shoot, man, I went over and I sat down at my desk. I said, "Lord, I don't like that. That ain't even funny. They making fun of us. They making fun of us." I said, "Lord, where them keys at?" He said, "Go look in the umbrella." Now, everybody done been all over that building for 2 days. I even went over there. And I said, "Umbrella?" Nevertheless, cast your net on the other side. I said, "Umbrella." So I get up and I walk, go to where the drop box was. So in the middle of the wall, there's the drop box. And about 4 or 5 feet over to the side is the corner where the wall turns and offices start. There's an umbrella sitting there, and it's turned upside down, and it's not tied together. So when I went over there and I picked that umbrella up, I turned it upside down, them keys said, shoop, and hit the floor. And so I pick them keys up. I go, I mean, it'll make you laugh. So I go, and he's Scott sitting in there at his desk. I just hand him over. I said, there's your keys, boss.
Where'd you get them keys from?
I said, Lord showed me where they were at. And he said, well, where were they? I said, they were in the umbrella. Now, you had 10, 12, 15 grown men and women walking around there for 2 days. That umbrella sat there the whole time. Nobody had the divine information shared with them to the answer to their problem. They didn't want to know what God knew, but I did. You know where these keys are. So Ephesians 1, and I got several other examples that just God's ability to communicate with us and get us answers in our lives where nobody else will have them. So Ephesians 1, 15 through 19, now again, these are maybe common. These may be common scriptures for us, and we've heard them before. So this is Paul. Therefore, I also, after hearing of your faith in the Lord Jesus and your love toward the saints, I do not cease giving thanks for you, mentioning you in my prayers, so that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give you the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of Him. That the eyes of your understanding may be enlightened, that you may know where the keys are. That you may know what is the hope of His calling and what are the riches of His glory, of His inheritance among the saints, and what is the surpassing greatness of His power toward us who believe, according to the working of His mighty power. I just believed with all my heart God knew where the keys were. And I'm telling you, the humility in me, I kind of felt sorry for the Lord that they were mocking Him. It touched my heart that they would even be talking about Him. And I wanted to defend Him. Colossians 2. We're still talking about an open mind with Jesus, by way of the Holy Ghost, being a divine revealer and communicator. He'll show it to you and cause you to be able to understand it. That's what communication does. He'll show it to you and cause you to be able to understand it. That was a part of Paul's prayer right there. Colossians 2, 1 through 3. I would like you to know what a great struggle I'm having for you and for those in Laodicea and for everyone who has not seen my face in the flesh, that their hearts be comforted, be knit together in love, and receive all the riches and assurance of full understanding and the knowledge of the mystery of God, both of the Father and of Christ. The knowledge of the mystery. So when something's been revealed to you, it's no longer a mystery. And so what he's talking about here, love opens the door to the wisdom and the knowledge. He said it over in Ephesians, after hearing of your faith and love toward the saints. Then it's mentioned here again. And then we know that from Galatians 5:6 that faith works by love. Now, it's a whole different message, but it's a part of this one. That love opens the door to the wisdom and the knowledge. So you have to ask yourself, when things aren't necessarily happening, not look at your faith, but look at your love walk. That goes back to what he said in Mark 11:25. When you stand praying, what? Forgive. And then Ephesians 3, basically the same prayer. Paul's talking about the assurance of full understanding and receiving the revelation and the knowledge of God. And so if you got an open heart and an open mind, you got to realize that we have the mind of Christ. It's inside of us. It's already been, it's in there. And then it also says, let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. And so then, look at what this mind, look at some qualities of this mind here in Philippians chapter 2, verses 1 through 5. If there is any encouragement in Christ, now I don't know if it moves everybody to the same degree or measure of thought. But for Jesus to be a revealer and a communicator of divine intelligence, and I'm qualified to receive it because I'm born again, that encourages me. So if there's any encouragement in Christ, any comfort of love, if any fellowship of the Spirit, this fellowship of the Spirit, have you not experienced any times in your life where you being one with God has benefited you in the things that you do in life, not only spiritually or mentally or physically or emotionally? You as the whole man, we're talking about financially, socially, how it's put you in places that people would just absolutely die to be in positions, having favor, being in fellowship with the Spirit, how it hadn't benefited you. So if there's any compassion and mercy, then fulfill my joy by being like-minded, having the same love, being in unity with one mind. Now, this is a call for us in our lifestyle, but it's exactly the type of life that Jesus lived in proximity to the Father and the Holy Ghost. It's the same thing. Having the same love, being in unity with one mind, let nothing be done out of strife or conceit, but in humility, let each consider the other person better than himself. And let each one of you not only look out for your own interest, but also the interest of others. Let this mind be in you all, which was also in Christ Jesus. It's an exhortation to us, but that's how he lived. So we got an open heart, an open mind, and then let's see about open mouth. So your words are the signature of your agreement. You've signed it on the dotted line when you open your mouth, whether good or bad. Romans 10:8-10 said that we believe with our heart and confess with our mouth. 1 Corinthians 1. This is beautiful here. 1 Corinthians 1:3-10. Grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. I thank God always on your behalf for the grace of God which has been given to you through Jesus Christ. By him you are enriched in everything. Well, what is everything? In all speech and in all knowledge. He's the great revealer and communicator of divine intelligence. And you've been enriched in everything. Even as the testimony of Christ was confirmed in you, so that you are not lacking in any gift while waiting on the revelation of the Lord Jesus Christ, He will strengthen you to the end so that you may be blameless on the day of our Lord Jesus Christ. And God is faithful. And by Him you were called to the fellowship of His Son Jesus, our Lord. So see, you've been enriched with everything in all speech. In other words, you open in your mouth what you say based on what you know. You see that, right? In all speech and in all knowledge. And then Colossians 2. Y'all don't mind if I read a bunch of verses, do you? Colossians 2. Verses 6 and 7. And we touched on a little bit of that in the open mind. But so as he progresses down in this chapter, in this letter, he says, as you have received Christ Jesus, so also walk in Him, rooted and built up and established in the faith, as you have been taught. Been taught what? Divine information. So how did we receive Christ? That's what Romans 10, verses 8 through 10 told us. That if you believe in your heart and confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord and God raised Him from the dead, you shall be saved. So we received Him believing and confessing. We had an open heart, open mind, and then we started opening our mouth. So you got to examine how you've been doing what we do on a daily basis. Do you see these three things being a part of your everyday life, both in public and private now? You know, you don't turn it off and on, okay? And we'll get to that on the next step right here. But look at Proverbs chapter 15. Proverbs chapter 15. Say, I have an open heart. Just three of us have open hearts. See, that might be a sign of a closed heart right there. Amen. That might be a sign of an unwilling heart to open your mouth. Oh. Proverbs 15, verse 1, a soft answer turns away wrath. Verse 2, the tongue of the wise uses knowledge aright. Another translation says, a tongue of the wise makes knowledge attractive. Now, when I showed up with them keys, I was the best looking guy in the building. Man, everybody was wanting to look at me. And I ain't talking about my physical appearance. I'm talking about, where did you get that information from? It makes knowledge attractive. Verse 4, a wholesome tongue is a tree of life. But perverseness in it crushes the spirit. Now, one of the things that we really need to pay attention to that God really has a difficult time getting His people to overcome is when He says something, we can't change what He says. In other words, going back to when the children of Israel come out of Egypt, He told them, I'm going to enter you into the land flowing with milk and honey. They went over and sent the spies in, and they come back and said, man, this is the land that devours. He said, no, it's the land flowing with milk and honey. They said, it's the land that devours. He said, I'm going to send you in that you live and live in the land and conquer the land. I've given it to you. They said, we're going to die in the desert. And He called that an evil report. So just like a wholesome tongue is the tree of life, but perverseness crushes the spirit, man, it grieves the Holy Ghost when divine information has been shared with us and we simply refuse to have an open heart, an open mind, and an open mouth simply just to say what Father God, by way of the Holy Ghost, has told us to say. So our open mouth is a signature of our agreement. All right, verse 7, the lips of the wise disperse knowledge. What kind of knowledge? Divine knowledge. Are you wise today? Huh? Say, I have a wise mouth. I will not pervert the things that God said. Verse 23. A man has joy by the answer of his mouth, and a word spoken in due season, how good it is. Hey, have you ever been able to say something to somebody in a time of need where you ain't had time to think up nothing? But, you know, you've just in constant fellowship. We go back to the Philippians chapter 2. If you've got any comfort in the fellowship of the Spirit, but you've practiced being in company with living God just 24/7, and then somebody needs something spoken to them, and man, you flow with something, and it breaks. It just breaks them right then. I mean, I had a woman come in Premier Chevrolet and she was looking for the bathroom, and I showed her the bathroom. She come back out, and we got talking about directions where she is going. And she said, I done got turned around. She said, my mind ain't on driving. And she said, I said, well, yeah, what's the problem? She's telling me about her son over in China doing a mission trip or something. You know, and it didn't even make any sense, but I knew it was God. He said, ask her what the crime rate in China is. And I said, ma'am, do you know the crime rate in China? And she says, it's low. And I said, well, you worried about him in a country where they ain't got no crime. And over here in America, he'd be worse off than where he's at over there. Oh, my. And she just started crying. You know, I said, he's actually safer in China than he is here. They killing folks everywhere over here in America. I mean, I'm serious, but it was, and the woman just left there on cloud nine, and her son was going to be okay. Oh, Jesus. All right, so, and then here we go in Proverbs 16:23. And this will be the last one I'll read here. I had several more in here, but the heart of the wise teaches his mouth. See there, the open heart. It's wise to have an open and willing heart now, because it teaches the mouth and adds learning to his lips. You find out really how smart you are by what comes out of your mouth. That's what this says. Oh, glory to God. And then we go on down. There's more, you know, life and death in the power of the tongue. Ephesians 4:29 says, let no corrupt communication come from your mouth, only that which is good for the building up of somebody in need, so that the hearer will receive grace in their time of need. And then it said, don't grieve the Holy Spirit. That's what grieves him. When you got other things coming out of your mouth other than what Father God has said, it grieves the Spirit of God. And so then here's the one that James says that no man can tame the tongue. Talking about James chapter 3. And so a lot of times when you're talking about your speech and what you say, people that have really not taking this responsibility with the fullness of heart they want to say, well, brother, the Bible says that no man can tame the tongue. And that's true. But the Holy Spirit can. Jesus said in several of the Gospels that I only say what I hear my Father say. The Spirit of God tamed his tongue in John 12, 49 and 50. And then John 14, 10. And so we have to be conscious that it's the Holy Spirit that's going to train our tongues. That we only say what we hear God say. Now, this is where it comes in. I like to tell everybody that I have an opportunity to tell. Being a man or woman of God that gets results in this life is not for the lazy. Man, you're going to have to stay on top of your game. You're playing against an enemy that has defeated champions his whole existence. We're talking about Satan. You're playing against an enemy that has defeated champions. You got to stay on top of your game. You got to make sure you got an open heart, an open mind, and an open mouth. And then what about an open life? What you take action with. James chapter 3. Notice this, and I'm going to finish right here. James chapter 3. Now, I just mentioned that it's talking about the power of the tongue in James chapter 3, but this verse no, that's not what I wanted. That's for another message. I'm gonna leave that out. Our lives should be an open display of truth and victory. And it's not sound doctrine until it's a demonstrated doctrine. That's what God means by my word won't return to me void. He ain't talking about you just saying something back to him. He's talking about the experience and the results that he can see from heaven. It's not a sound doctrine until it's demonstrated. And God said that my word shall not return to me void, but will accomplish all that I sent it to do. 2 Thessalonians 1, verses 11 and 12 is the verse that makes reference to that. And God's greatest way to reveal himself to the world is through our commitment to him boldly, openly, publicly, produced by faith in him. With an open heart, an open mind, an open mouth, and an open life. And so Philippians chapter 2. Man, this book here, it can keep me occupied for a long time. Philippians chapter 2. So let's start at verse 12. Now notice in verse 12, Paul says, therefore, my beloved, as you have always obeyed. Now this is the mindset of the Holy Ghost encouraging these people. He's writing letters in all these epistles, not only encouraging them, but he's addressing problems that they have in the church. And he starts out this verse 12 after he went through verses 1 through 11, talking about us in 1 through 5, then talking about Jesus in 6 through 11, then he goes back to talking about us. Therefore, my beloved, as you have always obeyed. In other words, you're going to start with a clean slate tonight. Not only in my presence, but much more in my absence. Work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. For it's God working in you, both to will and to do his good pleasure. And do all things without murmuring and complaining, that you may be blameless and harmless, sons of God, without fault in the midst of a crooked and perverse generation, talking about right here in this world, in which you shine like stars in the world. And then verse 16 starts out by saying, hold forth the message of life, that I may rejoice in the day of Christ. So which part do you think you can make a minor adjustment in of these four principles? See, we just think faith happens. The disciples thought that. They asked Jesus, they said, Master, increase our faith. What was the very next words that Jesus spoke? If you. See, they tried to put the responsibility all on God to increase their faith and to grow their faith and let us get the benefits of the faith. And he said, no, this is your responsibility, if you. And so let's look at this here with an open heart, an open mind, an open mouth, and an open life. And see on a minute-by-minute basis which parts of these we could do better in to improve our ability to do like what Jesus done with the woman caught in the act of adultery. This is one of my favorite things where they come to him, Master, Moses said, stone her. What do you say? Stone her or don't stone her? They was putting pressure on him to say something. He knelt down, wrote in the dirt. Now, everybody wants to say that he was writing down the names of the men that she had been with and all that. But see, he didn't come to condemn the world. He came to save it. He was waiting on Father to give him something to say. And the evidence of that is when he stood up, he said, let the first one of you without sin cast the first stone. Because if he would have said the wrong thing, they would have killed them both. Jesus for violating the law of Moses and the woman for being an adulterer. So you know what he heard and what he said came from God because it had the ability to deliver both of them. That's the part of the open life. Everybody witnessed that. And then, you know, the Pharisees come to him, scribes, all of them, ones that are trying to kill him. Hey, man, where does this man get this wisdom and understanding and knowledge from? He ain't been in none of our schools. Father, I thank you for this time, Lord God, that we've gathered here tonight. I thank you for the opportunity that we can leave here and be changed just a little bit. Make a minor adjustment somewhere in our heart, in our mind. We can really start paying attention to what we say. And then it be an open display of truth in our life. And Father God, we'll gain momentum and be encouraged as we see things around us change instantly, progressively, and continually and consistently everywhere we go. Man, this is how we're supposed to live. We're world changers. We know that. We recognize that. We ask you to remind us of these things, that it's you working in us. And we won't shy away from them. And Father, we expect great results from this day forward in all the things that you've said we should have and do. And we thank you for the blood of Jesus that opens the door for that. Forgiveness of sins and a divine ability that you've given us that we have everything we need for life and godliness in Christ Jesus. We thank you for it in his name. Amen.